Good afternoon. Welcome to Embracing the Chase, brought to you by InfinitelyHome.com, the website for first-time and affordable home buyers, Building Fortunes Radio, and Blog Talk Radio. Embracing the Chase is a radio show presenting a unique personal improvement thought which will make your life better and your business grow. Last week, I put a post out there that had four or five key points to it, and I warned you in advance that this week was going to be taken up with addressing those points so that you can facilitate them within your business model and also within your family, because they work either way. And so today we're going to start that process. And the first process we're going to talk about is the difference between responsible complaints and complaining. And there is a huge difference. And I'm pleased to share with you a powerful way of understanding how our reactions to broken promises and unfulfilled commitments can create very positive or negative impacts within organizations and relationships. Now, the new distinction here is responsible complaint, not to be confused with complaining or gossiping or whining. Just as I can never take the action of changing a spark plug and bringing about the result of a better running car, unless I can see the spark plug to begin with when I open the hood. The first step is to acquire the new distinction spark plug. Then, and only then, can I take the new actions? The same is true for us here. The first step is being able to take the action of making a responsible complaint and not complaining or whining. Because it is to acquire the distinction of responsible complaint in the first place. Virtually, all of us have been in situations in which promises were not kept. You know, upon which time some type of gossiping or whining or open-ended complaining took place. This has a predictability of negative impact on organizations as well as relationships. It is in these situations where responsible complaints can actually strengthen relationships, productivity, accountability, and workplace culture. Organizations, at their most basic level, can be understood as human beings who are coordinating action within each other. All organizations may be understood as networks of conversations, networks of interconnected commitments. Said slightly differently, might be every organization can be understood as a human being making, keeping, and managing promises, which are agreements and commitments with each other at a multitude of different levels and in a multitude of different ways. Now, you can do this well, or you can screw it up badly, but you cannot do this. You know, the goal here is impeccable coordination of action. In moving toward a culture of commitment or a culture of accountability in our organization, it may not be possible to keep 100% of the promises we make. What is important and what is possible, however, is that all of us actively manage 100% of our commitments. These commitments are interconnected with many others, so breakdowns and drops of the ball in one area often have big impacts on results. What options do we have at our disposal with others, when others, by the way, do not keep their commitments? Well, they include doing nothing, and usually simmering in silent resentment. Or you can gossip and complain to others and probably contribute to poor culture. You can blow up in a fit of public anger and damaged relationships and public identification. And these approaches don't usually work. Instead, these usually lead to resentment, relationship problems, and ultimately the non-fulfillment of the commitment. Give you an example. About 3 weeks ago, my wife and I made a commitment that we would make every attempt in our relationship to do away with arguments, because I have a very quick-to-reach boiling point. And so when something I find doesn't agree with me, a commitment or something is not kept in my judgment, I'm quick to anger. And my wife doesn't like that. It makes her uncomfortable. And so we made an effort to do that. And for 2 weeks, we kept that. It was a great place. I mean, we made every effort to do it. And then one thing happened, and we lost all that we had gained. And I will tell you that it made a huge difference the next day in how we felt toward each other. The atmosphere had changed. And that's not a good thing. And so from this point in time on, I'm going to make the effort not to do that. I hope my wife will do the same. And then we will have a much better place environmentally for us to do what we have to do. So what we're talking about here is to introduce responsible complaining to the process. And responsible complaints are powerful tools for managing commitments and building strong relationships. And there are key steps in making a responsible complaint. Number one, you introduce the responsible complaint. You talk about them and give explicit permission to use them in situations where someone doesn't keep or manage a commitment. As you're beginning the conversation with the other person, set the context by reminding each other of your previous conversation in which you agreed to start using responsible complaints as a tool for improving accountability and for keeping relationships clean. The second thing you have to do is check your mood. And this is like checking the oil. Make sure that it's not going to overflow. View this as a type of learning process. Take a deep breath. Breathe, and that's when you start, and you start with facts. You can make some assertions, did we or did we not, have an agreement in place in which you committed to do X by Y. It's possible you thought the other person made a commitment, and the other person thought you just talked about something. If this is the case, discuss how you can prevent the situation from happening again. Continue with the fact. Continuing with the fact, is it or is it not complete? It's possible the promise was actually fulfilled, and you simply aren't aware of it. If this is the case, discuss how you and the other person can communicate more clearly in the future. Indeed, if a promise was made and not fulfilled or managed, share your assessments. Failure to manage this commitment caused these problems, etc., etc., or had this negative impact. Next, you make additional effective requests, which lead to new commitments and a new time frame, or simply revoke the initial commitment. Finally, as you're moving toward the end of the conversation, discuss whether this situation, the misunderstanding or unmanaged/broken commitment, is an event or trend. How can we keep this from happening again? Any new steps to take here? I invite you to consider this culture question for your organization. What has become the standard or norm when people in your organization fail to keep up or manage commitments? When the norm has become people making responsible complaints, you know you're on your way to a healthy culture of accountability. How we react in these situations has a big impact on productivity. Relationships overall in the workplace are better from a workplace culture. Remember, we teach people how to treat us, and we get what we tolerate. Understand that? Good. We're going to take a short 45-second commercial break, and we'll be back with the second half of this.
Do you want to learn more about affordable home ownership and what Ed Robinson with the National Affordable Home Ownership Coalition nonprofit has going on in the Sarasota, Bradenton, Florida area? Well, go to infinitelyhomes.com and read all about it. Don't forget to go to the events page for upcoming seminars in the area, and the newsletter can be found on the Home Sweet Home page. See you on the website, which once again is www.infinitelyhome.com.
Okay, we are back. And what we've been talking about is why you should quit complaining and start doing constructive to improve the situation. And that involves communication. And you should say and do something positive that will help the situation. It doesn't take any brains to complain, you know? So one of the things I want you to think about is, do you excessively complain about things? Do you complain when things go wrong about your personal feelings and experiences, or about people's decisions, behaviors, or actions? Does it piss you off when your neighbor doesn't cut his grass for 4 weeks and you cut yours every week? I mean, are those the things that make you angry? Do your complaints make you feel better about yourself or about the situation? Typically, the answer is yes, they do. Complaints make us feel better because we often use them as a coping mechanism to help us deal with unpleasant and unwanted circumstances. When we complain, we are effectively attempting to seek validation from the people who are listening to us. What this essentially means is that we are trying to get their agreement and sympathy in the hope that it will help us to deal with the pain and discomfort we are experiencing. However, complaining is rarely the answer to solving our problems. In fact, it's often the most direct path to living a life of excuses, where we simply choose not to take responsibility and choose instead to persistently play the victim card. It should be expected that life will not always pan out as you had planned. Problems will arise, generally unexpectedly, and people often do things that may agitate and aggravate you. That's life. And complaining about it doesn't change things. So, quit complaining. Sure, it may make you feel better in the short term, but did you ever stop to think that 90% of the people don't really care about your problems, and that the other 10% are actually happy that you have bigger problems than they do? Okay. Those stats may not be 100% accurate, but there is a probability that a whole lot of truth exists there. And of course, there will always be a few people who genuinely care about you and your problems. However, everybody else falls into the other categories, where they either don't care or actually appreciate the fact that your problems are more significant than theirs. I'm not telling you this to make you feel worthless. I'm telling you this to highlight the fact that complaining is a selfish act that benefits no one but you. And that, too, is an illusion, because your complaints rarely, if ever, benefit you in the long run. Given this, you may have reached a point in your life where you would like to let go of your complaints once and for all. And, of course, kick any bad habit always begins with self-awareness. You must become consciously aware of the complaints you are making first before you can start making some positive changes in your life. To do this, you need to ask yourself, when do I tend to complain? And what is it that I complain about? How often do I complain about these things? What specifically triggers my complaints? How do other people respond to me when I'm complaining about these things? What could these people be thinking about me and my complaints? How could these people actually be feeling about the complaints I'm making? How specifically do they see me when I make these complaints? how would I see myself in their situation listening to someone else make these same complaints? How do my complaints make me feel about myself? How does my complaining help me? How does my complaining potentially hurt me? These questions are not only designed to make you more aware of the complaints you are making, they are also designed with a purpose to help you see how your complaints are coming across in a social situations when you're dealing with other people. And typically, we would all love to think that people are on our side and sympathize with our plight wholeheartedly. However, the reality is that the truth might be very different from how we imagine things to be. People may very well not agree with you and might, in fact, despise you. After all, nobody truly respects someone or wants to be around a person who persistently shuns responsibility and complains when things don't go as expected. I'm sure you wouldn't want to be around a person like this either. And the same is probably true of everybody else you deal with. So you got to look at it and say, why in the world are you complaining? So what do you complain about first? That's actually a very good question, but unfortunately not an easy answer. It's not easy to answer because people typically make complaints for a multitude of reasons. They want to mask personal failures, and insecurities. When they're dealing with stress, discomfort, or frustration, when responding to feelings of jealousy or envy, when not living up to their personal standards or expectations, when feeling genuinely dissatisfied with something, when feeling someone cheated, or when truly treated unfairly. When life feels somewhat uncontrollable, when feeling self-conscious about something, in order to gain sympathy from others, in order to make themselves feel more significant and important, or simply because they have a pessimistic nature. Your reasons for complaining might vary from situation to situation. Unfortunately, you want to keep that in control. You see, nothing changes because complaining is a fruitless exercise for the main reason that it absolves you of all responsibility. And when we don't take responsibility for our actions, we effectively acknowledge that we have no control over our lives and or our circumstances. And when we don't believe we have control, we often play the victim card in the hope that a superhero will come in and save the day. But that superhero is unlikely to show up. Unlikely because that superhero is you. You are the one responsible for making yourself fully accountable for your predicament. As such, you must now work through the problem in a proactive way without making excuses or complaining about it. Because you want to know something? The complaint department just ain't listening. We already understand that complaining typically resolves and or achieves nothing. Yes, it might get you a small win here or there, but at what cost? Complaining might temporarily make you feel better, but how does it affect others? How does it affect how other people see you? How other people respond to you? Let's just take a quick look at what actually happens when you start complaining about something. When you typically complain, you reinforce what you don't want. It's all that negative stuff. In fact, you reinforce what's already not working in this situation. In other words, you are not bringing any solutions to the table that can help you resolve your problem more effectively. As such, you are essentially preventing constructive action that could potentially lead to a creative solution to the problem you are faced with. And on top of all that, your negative communication is breeding toxic relationships and making people feel despondent. When you complain, you also hurt yourself in a multitude of ways. Not only is the act of complaining draining your energy levels, but it's also likely to increase your stress levels. Additionally, complaining often leads to more complaining in an endless cycle that leads to stagnation and failure. This is what people don't understand, and it is the fact that when you're complaining, nothing else gets done because the loudest wheel gets the most attention. And so at the end of the day, the one that's squeaking the loudest, making the most noise, gets the oil. It's the same thing when the one is opening their mouth and complaining the loudest. They get the most attention, and you are not helping anyone to get their job done by complaining about it. So how do you change that? Well, the first thing you do is you go through and you say, you know, I have some concerns about such and such. And one of the things I'd like to be able to do is facilitate a conversation so we could talk about how we can solve this problem that I foresee as being a problem. Now, does that sound more sense than, I don't understand what this is happening? As you can see, complaining has absolutely no value. It is very much like the drug that people take to temporarily make themselves feel better. However, that feeling barely lasts, and the side effects of that drug just get worse over time. And before you know it, you're addicted, and you don't even realize it. Do you really want to be addicted to complaining? I don't. So, it should be clear that complaining isn't an effective means of resolving the problems you face. But how do we overcome this habit? How do we quit complaining and start taking more responsibility for our life and circumstances to begin proactively working through life's problems? Well, I have some resolutions that we're going to speak of, and my talk has some resolutions, but I want to talk to you today about a plan. Because if you have a plan, most generally, complaints don't happen. Plans are what nip complaints in the bud. Like, for example, we are getting ready to launch the things that we need to launch to start the not-for-profit affordable home ownership business. And one of the big deals for us was to have financing in place. And I did a complete pro forma on how the financing would work, where it was going to come from, how it was going to be applied, what it could result to in terms of income, and how much money the lender would make. And in talking with the lender on the phone on Friday, it became apparent that we had his attention, but he had not seen that pro forma yet. But when he asked me specific questions about how I could do it, what I could do, what did I anticipate in case a problem arose, I had answers for all those questions because I had planned accordingly. Therefore, I had nothing to complain about. And had he chosen not to give us the financing, then it would not have been because we weren't prepared. Nobody had a right to complain on either side of the table because we both presented our best efforts. So the reality is that it just wasn't meant to be. And there's no complaining that. You did everything in your power, and you should know that you did everything in your power to do it. And if you didn't do everything in your power, then you have no right to complain. Because complaining just reflects back on your inability to plan correctly. And the simple fact is that in the past I have done pro formas that weren't really applicable. Today's was. And it was done on a step-by-step basis. I did my research. I knew how much I was going to spend and where it was going to be applied and how much each house cost and how much each lot cost. And I had the answers that made them feel comfortable that the money that they were going to lend me was going to be used correctly and their risk was limited. That was my goal. And so at the end of the day, when we got off the phone and my wife and I looked at each other and almost jumped for joy, because everything was positive. And that's the way every conversation should go. And it was a direct result of planning. There is no other reason for it. And so at the end of the day, think about that. Now, this is a two-part show, and the second part of the show are going to be the reasons how you can quit complaining, and there are 8 steps that you will go through, and I will explain them to you in detail, and it will take up all the entire half hour of the next show. In fact, we might not even break for a commercial until the end, because it's important that you understand that complaining results in nothing except making you look bad. I look at the people on social media who spend their entire day bitching about somebody's dress or complaining about somebody's body parts or complaining what somebody tweeted or complaining about somebody said on TV. And the simple fact is that it does no good. It just calls attention to themselves and makes them seem to be what they really are. Idiots. You know, and that's all they are. And our society has become driven by these people. And it shouldn't be. And so what you need to do is you need to make sure that you don't listen to them either. They have nothing to say of value to you. I'm about to go out and ask people for money, big money. And I'm sure that my success rate isn't what I hope it will be. But what I project it to be is realistic. And so based on that, it is my hope that I will accept whatever anyone says in the manner in which I need it to be taken, which is, this is your plan, Ed. You enacted it. You researched it. You did what you need to do. You answered their questions. If they choose not to give, that's on them, not on you. And it is a choice. I'm not charging them money. I'm asking for donations. And so at the end of the day, we want them to do that. So be prepared tomorrow, you know, and wear all your armor. Because I'm telling you that what you're going to hear is going to affect you. And you need to be prepared for that so you can make the necessary changes in your life. This is Ed Robinson. And I've enjoyed today. I look forward to tomorrow. You have a good day. Good night.